Let's do it.
Rolls out to the right. 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
To Mo Williams. Touchdown.
You gotta be kidding me.
Welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. Sorry to keep you waiting this long, but we had to get the whole crew back together for you. So we're going to get this thing going. My name is Jason Brown. I'm your host this evening, and I got my man QB1 with me here. JR, what's going on?
I'm happy to be back, man. Got the
happy
gang
to have
all
you.
Back together. Got the gang all back together, so I'm
yes,
feeling
indeed.
Good.
Miles, wide receiver one. What's going
up?
On, my man?
You know, same old watching the Hall of Fame game. Watching Blaine Gabbert light up the Dallas Cowboys.
that's a sad statement you just made right there.
Ooh, and watch TJ Logan truck the punter. Ooh.
Go. Oh. And Saxy Prince, my man who forgot football was back tonight.
Yeah, man.
And then also forgot that you were supposed to be hanging out with your mama earlier in the week, man. What's going on with that, man?
Sorry, I missed my headphones fell. What'd you say?
Yeah, you forgot that you were supposed to be going and hanging out with moms earlier this week. What happened, man?
Mom had a birthday. She's 59. She still only looks like she's like 28, 29 at worst. We went down and brought us some Famous Dave's, you know, bought a little cake and whatnot. Got to celebrate with her. It was nice and sweet and cute or whatever, you know. Got to put on for the moms. It's important. Family's important. All that stuff. But now that football is officially back, I do have a question for you guys. You know, there's a little bit of controversy around the Color Rush uniforms, but I mean, I didn't hate them as much as everyone else did. So I would ask, what was you guys' favorite Color Rush uniform? I'll start. I really liked the, it was either the Seahawks or the LA Chargers. Like, I love them Color Rush uniforms, so.
All right, let's go around the room.
Seahawks,
JR, what's
favorite.
Up with you, man?
The Seahawks was by far my favorite. I love their colors. You know, the Seahawks and the Dolphins probably are the two favorite team colors, in my personal opinion. I love the highlighter uniforms. I'm all for making a fashion statement. I'm one of those guys that, you know, likes to stick out in the bunch. Stephon Diggs is a phenomenal dresser. I love making the fashion statement. Keep doing what you're doing, Stephon. But
you sure you're not a wide receiver?
Absolutely not. I'm not a diva, you know, like most wide receivers.
But you sounded a bit diva-ish right now talking about the fashion.
Nah, you know, the thing about quarterbacks is I'm going a little bit off subject, but this is important. You don't have to know anything about sports, but you know what the quarterback does. And that's why we're so important, man. You know, the wide receivers want to feel important, but they're not the quarterbacks. Shout out to you, Miles. But let's get back on subject.
Well, all right, Miles. Miles, if you'd like to respond, by all means, feel free. If not, just tell us what your favorite Color Rush jersey was.
I can't. It's the quarterback. You can't say too much back to the quarterback. He's the one throwing the ball. But honestly, I don't even remember. I think what Prince said, the Chargers one was good. Miami's too. Otherwise, I don't really know. Minnesota's was okay.
I'm right there with Miles. I don't remember what any of those jerseys actually look like. So I have no answer. I'll plead the fifth on this one. So, Prince, you good? Those acceptable responses?
Come on, y'all. Y'all disappointed the fans. They wanted to know which Color Rush's uniform that they should buy for upcoming season. I might get a Color Rush uniform.
Don't do it.
Tampa's was pretty good.
Yeah, Tampa's was another really good one. I thought it was good to just make the NFL just seem a little bit different. You know, obviously, you know, they need something to spark the numbers for Thursday night games. So,
well, I'll Google them and then I'll tweet you my favorite tomorrow or something.
All right. That works. All right.
So there's a couple things we need to get into and talk about, because, you know, it's been a little while since we had everyone together. There's been a lot going on in the world of sports. And, you know, there was a dream that Prince had, and that dream is alive. So I just want to have another quick conversation, off-season drama, Kyrie Irving, And everything that was going on with that, the pettiness that's been going on in the NBA. And as I'm talking and setting up this topic that really was for the Sexy Prince, as is our custom, Yinka once again lost his connection with all of us. So I'm going to start with Miles. Miles, what are your thoughts on the Kyrie Irving situation, the drama, him trying to get moved, and then all of the things we've seen since then, him hanging out with Steph, making fun of LeBron, everything going on with all that?
I mean, to be fair, I mean, the whole year between the offseason after Cavaliers won the championship, they're clowning the Warriors, they're clowning Steph Curry, all those guys. So, I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, I don't think Kyrie probably should be doing it with Curry, but I'm all for Curry clowning LeBron. But with Irving, I think it really shows how much in the NBA the players really have the power and how much effect that they really have in terms of them making their decisions and what they want to do, because Cleveland obviously is shopping him around right now. They're obviously trying to get a king's ransom for him, but it's definitely in the works. Like, it sounds like they're probably going to be trading him if they get the right deal that they want. So it's a pretty crazy deal. I think there's a few teams that are in the mix. I think Kyrie Irving's kind of doing what a lot of NBA players are doing right now, is they're just kind of deciding what they want to do. Like, Carmelo Anthony is basically at that point where he's like, I don't know if I want to leave New York. If I do, it's only for like one or two teams. Otherwise, I don't really care if I leave. So I kind of feel like Kyrie Irving's at that point where he's like, I think he's kind of misleading what he's trying to say, though, because he says he wants to go somewhere to be the alpha dog. But if he goes to somewhere like Minnesota, he's not going to be the alpha dog. If he goes somewhere like maybe Phoenix, he could be the alpha dog there if he gets traded there. But I don't know. I just don't understand his MO. I do think LeBron does seem like he could be a difficult person to work with, but I don't really know all the details to it. But I think it's an interesting thing going on, though, and I'm excited to see where he ends up.
QB1, I know you had some strong feelings when you saw that video of Steph kind of mocking LeBron a little bit, and then Kyrie in the background egging him on, laughing. What are your thoughts on everything, especially with what Miles said? You know, LeBron did kind of go in on Steph and Golden State after they won that title. So what are your thoughts on kind of the clowning that's going on and everything going on with Kyrie and all that?
I mean, I don't really have a problem with the cold clowning situation, because I'm all for having fun. But just don't do it with the dude that beat you in the finals. That was my whole thing. Like, what kind of competitive nature does that show? Like, you're making videos with the guy that just beat you.
But they're all friends.
I understand that, but I'm not going to make a video with the guy that just kept me from winning another ring. That's just something I'm not going to do as a competitor. But on the subject of Kyrie Irving's trade request, I think Kyrie's just trying to beat LeBron to the punch, meaning that he's trying to get out of Cleveland before LeBron does. And I think that's what Kyrie and his camp is trying to do. Everybody knows LeBron is leaving after this season. Yeah, I think it's pretty much a done deal. I don't know where he's going to go. Nobody knows. Everybody's speculating the Lakers, but we really don't know. Kyrie doesn't care about winning. I don't think he does. Kyrie just cares about Kyrie, in my opinion. He just wants to go somewhere and, you know, be the alpha dog, as Miles mentioned earlier. He said that the Knicks is his, you know, most priority destination. And that just shows you, like, the type of mindset that he has. He doesn't really care about winning. He just wants to go somewhere where Kyrie can have his own team and Kyrie can shine. So that's the biggest thing I think he's trying to do. Kyrie's not going anywhere, guys. He's not going to get traded. Why do I say that? He makes $80 million less if he goes to another team. So if he goes to another team, he forfeits the contract that James Harden just got. He can get that four-year max deal where he gets $228 million. And if he leaves, he can only make around like $145 million. So
that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. You make the decision. Which one would you rather have? Right. $228 million or $145 million. So
right.
I think he'll stick around there. If he sticks around until 2019, he can get that contract. So I don't think he's going anywhere.
You don't think he can make that up? Like, if he went to New York with just it being such a big media market, endorsements, all that other stuff, you don't think he –
Okay. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. It's always about the money. When you get that type of money, you always get money hungry. You always want more.
All right. Well, we will go to the man. We'll hope to go to the man. Sexy Prince. Oh, there he is. He is back. He's with us. And we're talking about his man, his favorite player, and the dream lives, Saxy Prince. What are your thoughts? Kyrie Irving, requesting trades, making videos with Steph Curry. Let us know what you think, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just the video stuff first. I don't really think it's I didn't like it, but I think it's along the point that I think Miles had said, just like, you know, the players kind of run the NBA. Majority of the players are obviously Black. So, you know, Black culture kind of dominates what the NBA is. And then the Black culture is very common just for us to, you know, just clown each other. Just, you know, you do something good to just kind of rub it in each other's face or even just celebrate yourself. But I guess that's where I agree with JR, in which I don't like that Kyrie did that necessarily with Steph, because it's like you clown with Steph, with your teammate, even though you were kind of on the same side of that teammate that y'all kind of got embarrassed in the last final. So I don't know. It just kind of makes you not look too bright in that situation. But I know that Miles had said something along the lines of, like, he won't be the star. I still think if he comes to Minnesota, he definitely would be a star. I mean, I know Cat can obviously ball. Jimmy can obviously ball. But it's been a while since Minnesota has had a, you know, a star point guard. And I think that's what Kyrie is. He definitely is a star point guard. So he could come to Minnesota and have the team be, you know, it be the somewhat of the Kyrie show. He might not necessarily have to do everything by himself, like he did with, you know, in Cleveland with it was just literally him and LeBron at times. Yeah, he could go to the Knicks, but I think he would obviously have the uphill battle if there is a part of him that wants to win a championship. Again.
Yeah, so that's a good point that you're making right there, and JR touched on it. So I know that you love Kyrie's game. You love what he can do coming off the finals. You love the fact that, you know, he was kind of the closer role when they won it. You know, he has that ice in his veins. But now that he's kind of showing that maybe winning isn't the most important thing to him, is he still a player that you would really want to give up a lot for, Yinka?
I think so. Just because I know that. I mean, I don't discount. I still think that Kyrie does have a competitive nature, especially when every time I watch this man go to the hole, it's amazing to watch. And, you know, I want to just learn how to do what he's doing every time he does it. And I don't think that his competitive nature has gone away. Now, when you do get that one ring, I mean, you see a lot more guys like, I got my ring. I'm kind of cemented in history. Let me just go make as much money as possible, which I think that's what might put Minnesota out of the running to get Kyrie. But, you know, if Kyrie wants to continue to be able to clown other people, I mean, coming to a team like Minnesota would help him too. I'm not saying Minnesota would become the Warriors if he comes to Minnesota, but I think Minnesota becomes one of the better teams in the West with Kyrie, Cat, Butler, Wiggins. I mean, like, that's a pretty.
You're going to have to give up Wiggins to get him.
Yeah, you're not getting Kyrie without Wiggins.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't disagree with you guys, but I mean, we'll see what happens.
Would you give up Wiggins for him?
What'd you say?
Would you give up Wiggins for Kyrie?
I've been on the side that I'm willing to give up Wiggins for Kyrie. But I mean, I've seen Kyrie. I saw young Kyrie before LeBron. So I mean, that's before I like really started falling in love with this game. And then I saw Kyrie with LeBron, where I could see all the things that he's capable of doing outside the perimeter, get it inside the paint. Like, so yeah, I think I would give up Wiggins, even though I really do love the potential that Wiggins could get to.
It's tough for me because I think Teague and Wiggins is better than just Kyrie by himself, in my opinion, but I don't know. Cause they can't trade Teague. So
not till December. So I mean,
right. So it'd be Teague and Kyrie without Wiggins. I just don't see that working, at least right now. So,
all right, last word to you, JR.
You know, I would give up Wiggins for Kyrie if Tom Thibodeau wasn't the coach, because Kyrie isn't a Tibbs type of player. What I mean by that is Tibbs loves athletic point guards that are really good defensively. That's why they really like Teague. I just don't think him and Kyrie would really mesh well. So I don't really like the fit for Kyrie on the Wolves, but if it was any other team, I would give up Wiggins for Kyrie.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to go through these next two topics kind of quick. I got into it a little bit on Twitter. Got hit pretty hard here because I said I don't think Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. So I want to go real quick, get each of your takes on Eli Manning. Should he be in the Hall of Fame? And then your quick reasoning, why or why not? We're talking about a quarterback, so of course we're going to start with our quarterback. JR, what are your thoughts?
This is tough for me because I really don't know. Because what are the qualifications to get in the Hall of Fame? Nobody really knows because it's different for every position. And we've seen where a lot of quarterbacks were most deserving that didn't get in first ballot. And we've seen it just recently with other positions as well, like a player like Terrell Owens, who clearly should be in, but the media has held their bias against him. But, you know, that's clearly not the case with Eli Manning. Besides those two Super Bowl appearances, Eli really hasn't had a lot of highlights in his career that really make him stick out amongst some of the all-time greats. So I honestly really don't know. If I had to lean one way, I would say no, just because his career really hasn't been that flashy besides those two Super Bowl appearances and getting Super Bowl MVPs, and that's kind of what his career is predicated off of as opposed to actual numbers. And when you talk about Eli, those are the first two things you bring up, the Super Bowl MVPs. So I really don't think outside of those Super Bowl appearances, his career is that much deserving of being in the first ballot Hall of Fame.
Okay. All right. Miles, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same realm as JR. Like, I think personally, I think the quarterback position for the Hall of Fame should probably be a little bit of a harder draw, especially nowadays with, you know, how much passing goes on and everything. Cause I know it's been out there about the volume stats and all that he has. He's top 10 in, I think, most of the, you know, volume stats in terms of like passing yards, touchdowns, all that kind of stuff. Yards, I think too. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think somebody had said that. I don't personally. Yeah. Like JR said, when I think about the Hall of Fame, though, Eli's not the, like, doesn't come to my mind. He's not like one of those. He wasn't the best in his era. He wasn't one of the top five players in his era, really, in my opinion. There's a lot of other quarterbacks that he's kind of had to go against that are, to me, better. You know, there's Drew Brees. There's Ben Roethlisberger, I think, is better. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers. Probably throw Brett Favre in there. I'm probably missing somebody that I'm – Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. So, like, all those guys are better to me than Eli Manning and have had better careers than Eli Manning. Not saying that they all couldn't get in the Hall of Fame, but if you had to pick, like, in that group, that's a lot of guys, and I don't think Eli is deserving of it, in my opinion. So,
okay,
I'm not going to, like, you know, undersell the fact that he won two Super Bowls because that's impressive, but like you guys are saying, like, again, that's really important, but besides the two Super Bowls, he hasn't really done anything else, so.
And Prince, I want to kind of switch it up a little bit for the last one because somebody actually, can't remember, I think maybe it was Josh on Twitter said, I don't understand why people would want to put Aaron Rodgers in the Hall of Fame when Eli has the two Super Bowls. And so I know you had some thoughts on that, and I want to kind of leave it to you to kind of explain, you know, I guess the thinking on both sides of that one. And do you think Aaron Rodgers should be in, or do you think Eli should be in? Like, which side of that one are you on?
Well, I'm definitely on the side of Aaron Rodgers. You know, the thing with Eli Manning is it's tough because volumes, if you look at the volume stats, you would say that he should be in the Hall of Fame. And I mean, if we look at the quarterbacks that are in the Hall of Fame, yeah, if we kind of use the efficiency stats that we use now toward them, a lot of them shouldn't be in there, you know. But I'm on the side that Aaron Rodgers, as much as I will dog him for, you know, only being able to, that team only having, you know, a couple Super Bowls between him and Brett Favre. I mean, in my opinion, Aaron Rodgers is miles ahead of what Eli Manning is, because Aaron Rodgers has done what he's done so consistently throughout his career, whereas Eli Manning he's had these really huge spurts where he does amazingly in the months of December. If you look at, I believe it's December months. I don't have it quite pulled up just yet, but his December, like how he performs in December is one of the, you know, obviously what's made Eli the way that he is. But
if I were to say, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? First ballot, no. Hall of Famer, probably. I mean, he'll probably get in there, mostly on his name. But, I mean, we can't dismiss the two Super Bowls. I mean, and those do carry a lot of weight compared to efficiency stats. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, to win a Lombardi, which a lot of players have not done in their careers, I mean, it is a huge feat. He got two of them over Brady. You know, Brady's two losses are to Eli Manning. So my criteria, probably not. The NFL's criteria, he'll probably be a Hall of Famer.
Yep, and I agree. I think Eli Manning is going to get in. He played in a big media market. Everyone remembered those two Super Bowls. But what's crazy is, for their careers, Eli Manning has a worse passer rating than Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
Like, that's just when I look at that, you know, that doesn't scream Hall of Fame.
No. His any is bad. His yards per attempt aren't great. I mean, his touchdown percentage rate really is not the greatest. I mean, I don't know. There's not, again, when you look at the efficiency stats, they just don't scream out as a Hall of Famer. But when you look at the volume stats, yeah, you can make an argument there. Being top 10 touchdowns, being top 10 in passing yards, being top 10 in fourth quarter comebacks and some fourth quarter efficiency stats. But overall, again, my I tend to lean towards no. I don't think.
Well, I think we have a first here. I think this might be the first topic in the history of the Climbing the Pocket podcast where all four of us actually are on the same side of an issue. So I'm going to go ahead and move along before we mess up this happy moment here. And we're going to talk about something, and we're not going to get too deep into it because we obviously want to get to the Vikings talk. But we'd be remiss if we ignored the fact that Joe Flacco got hurt, Ryan Tannehill hurt his knee, not quite sure what's going on there, and Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job. So I guess we're not going to get into all the nitty-gritty. Obviously, I think we all are on the same page and feeling that Cap should have a job somewhere. We're just going to do a quick rapid fire, just based on everything that's happened to date. I want to get y'all's opinion on if you think he is going to play this season. So, JR, start us off. Let us know. With everything going on, you think there's any shot Colin Kaepernick gets on the field this year?
His career is over. Cap's NFL career is over. I don't think nobody will ever sign him just because of the backlash and splitting the fan base in the front office. And, you know, the Ravens had to release a statement just to talk about their interest in signing them, and they didn't even sign them. So I think his career is over. I don't think anybody will ever sign him. He's a good quarterback, better than a lot of starters that are in the league right now, and better than a lot of backups that have a job right now. It's a shame. You know, he's being blackballed around the league. I think it's clear as day. Nobody will ever come out and say it, but I think his career is over.
Okay, that's pretty definitive right there. Miles, where are you at with it? You think it's definitive that it's a wrap for Cap?
I hope not. I think he'll play. I think some team's going to get desperate with all these injured quarterbacks. Adam Schefter just tweeted out that it sounds like the second opinion coming back in Ryan Tannehill's knee is he's going to need season-ending surgery. So a team like Miami could be one of those teams that becomes desperate. I think it'd be a good fit for him. But yeah, I do think I think he ends up playing. I think, like I said, I think a team's going to get desperate and they're going to kind of bite the bullet and say, hey, we need to do it. They take, you know, winning, not winning. Like, I think they're going to do it. I think some team's going to end up doing it. I think a team like Miami would be that team because it'd be cheaper for them to do that than to give up a high pick to go get one of the, you know, backup quarterbacks, like a guy like AJ McCarron or Mike Glennon, even if that's even a situation that they'd even consider. So just kind of my thoughts there.
They'll sign Cutler out of Booth.
Oh, Cutler. That's right.
Before they sign Cap.
I forgot about the Cutler. And it sounds like Cutler would take it if they were willing to give him the starting job. But
sad situation.
It is. I really hope he gets an opportunity because I think he deserves it. He's not a bad person. He donates money. You know, he's giving back. I don't know what else this man could do. He didn't break any laws. He didn't. Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's wild with Baltimore, the city that in the last week has had two separate instances of police planting drugs on suspects released to the public. It's ironic that that's the city that's saying, no, we can't have this guy who was protesting against police and justice. It's just, it's some craziness. But Saxy, we'll leave this one to you. What's going on, man? What are your thoughts? Do you think Colin gets back in the league, or do you think after this? Because this was kind of the last thing everyone said. They were like, it's going to take a starter to go down and a team to get desperate, and Cap is going to get that call. Two starters have gone down. Cap still not signed. Where are you at with it?
It took a little bit after JR said, I don't think he ever plays in the league. I had to be reflective. I'm like, that might very well be the possibility. I think, to answer your question, I think a team signs him, but whether he gets on the field this year, I don't think it's going to happen. I think an owner is going to either step up, or just our GM is going to be like, you know what, let's sign him so that the NFL doesn't look as bad as it currently does. Not having this man who, like you said, is better than a good majority of the backups that we have in the league, as well as, you know, some of the starters that we have. I think a team will sign him, whether they actually play him or not. I think that's where I don't feel like we'll see him on the field this year. I think maybe next year might be something where, you know, everyone is, you know, out of sight, out of mind, and he'll get that opportunity to play. Because, again, you talked about Baltimore. Baltimore had to deal with Terrell Suggs. They had to deal with Ray Lewis. They had to deal with Ray Rice. So I feel like they are understandably why they wouldn't want to take even more heat and stuff. But, you know, there's some team that, you know, would be more willing to take a chance. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, one of the Los Angeles teams gives them a shot, or maybe not New York teams, but, you know, so one of the less, I don't know what I'm trying to say, one of the less,
it'll be the
fan Packers. Base.
It'll be the
fan base. fan bases that'd be protesting him trying to get back into the league. So,
okay. He'll be the best quarterback on the roster if the Ravens sign him.
Well, yeah, that is true. Joe Flacco is not good. He hasn't been good. My boy Casey, we have this argument on a regular basis. That man got hot for 4 games, and they gave him all that money, and he is not good. And since they gave him that money, he has been terrible. So, all right, we will make it. We'll move past this, what people will call political talk. It's really not politics, because this is sports, and, you know, it's a guy who's good at the position who should be playing. We just watched, you know, Blaine Gabbert out there in the Hall of Fame game. Y'all going to tell us the guy who beat him for a job last year isn't good enough to play in the league. But whatever. Let's keep things moving along. We're going to talk a little bit of Vikings. And Miles, I don't know what you did. I think maybe you cursed the man. Sophomore surge. You're going to be kicking it in the tub. What's going on, man? What happened to your man? Are you worried? Are you nervous? What are your thoughts on the Treadwell issue, the Treadwell injury, the fight, everything going on around your man, and then some of the remarks that he made about how his injury was dealt with in college and how that affected him kind of making that transition to the pros?
Well, yeah, first off, I think with the whole fight thing, I think before he got hurt, I think people were blowing it out of proportion. I think it's a training camp fight. It happens. You've seen around the league, there's plenty of them going on. It happens. What I didn't like was Antoine Exum diving at his legs and taking him out that way. I think that's too far. Like, there's doing too much. And I think that was it. I think, you know, you never go low. That's like, you're getting a scuffle, you know, with your teammate. That's still your brother, though. That's still your guy. So, like, at the end of the day, you're not trying to hurt each other, but you're pissed off each other enough that you're going to fight each other. But it shouldn't be to the point where, you know, you're trying to take him out at the legs, and, you know, that affects your livelihood. But going on, and then moving on with that, you know, him talking about, it sounds like the injury didn't happen because of the fight. We don't know. I don't think we'll ever know. I don't think it matters at this point, because he's out either way. It doesn't sound like it's anything serious. It sounds like it's just something he's going to be out for a couple days, maybe a week tops. If he's in there by the preseason next week, then I definitely won't have any problems or issues with it, as long as it's nothing that lingers. And then moving on to what you had said about the, you know, the injury and everything like that, how it affected him moving into the pros, it definitely, you know, the biggest thing I think people forget when it comes to rookies is how long how little of, like, downtime they really have, and how how much time they really need to like to really rest, but they don't get it because, you know, they're constantly working out for teams. They're constantly working out, you know, and private workouts and all that kind of stuff. So, and then the combine and then, you know, all that. And then there's a draft and they have to go right to rookie mini camp. And then there's OTAs and regular mini camps with your teams. And then training camp starts. So those guys don't really get a lot of time to rest and rehab unless you're like seriously hurt. And Laquan Treadwell is at the point where it sounds like he was really trying to, you know, fight through it. And I think he felt he was healthier than he was. And then I think it just got worse because he kept moving and kept working and kept doing all that. So I just don't think he had the proper time to actually rest until this past off season. So I think he's finally at that point where he's had that opportunity to rehab it and get it better.
Prince, what are your thoughts? Where are you at with everything going on with Treadwell and what you're hearing about him thus far in camp, and how do you think he's going to I guess when do you think we'll see him back on the field, and how do you think he's going to perform this season? Excuse me.
I think something that we all know about hamstring injuries is that they can linger if they're not treated the right way, as well as if you're rushed back. And with someone like Treadwell who is still fairly young, you know, he has had a few leg type injuries. I don't want to see him back for, you know, maybe that's something that you wait 2 weeks for him to rehab over. And I know that's a long time because he was really starting to hit his stride and looking good out there. But the last thing I would want for him to do is have a lingering hamstring injury. So as far as my recommendation, just have him sit for probably about 2 weeks and then, you know, have him come back fully healthy. But I think I want to address the some of the bigger issues when it comes to injuries in the Vikings. I think even after it's been their fourth year, still have a hard time addressing injuries and still have a hard time just being kind of up front, or at least how they at least handle it. I think everywhere from Rick to especially Mike Zimmer, they just don't know how to address injuries to the media or even how to handle them, maybe even internally. There constantly seems to be this back and forth between players, maybe even wanting to get on the field or getting off the field or fighting through injuries and whatnot. And I understand that Zimmer wants to have this kind of tough man mentality. Offensive linemen, they need to have this tough man mentality, but it's really hard to be a tough football player on the bench. You know, I don't know. I just think that there's something that the Vikings need to nip in the bud. And I'm still surprised after year four that they're struggling with this specific thing. But as far as the Exum thing, I thought it was dirty. I didn't like Miles said, I didn't like him seeing him going after the legs. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was that two separate videos, them fighting and then them getting into another scuffle? Or was that the same scuffle that they got into, like, when they started fighting?
I honestly don't know. It looks like two separate videos. That looks like two different incidents, but I really don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, that just speaks to, I mean, Exum. I mean, you know, there's some people who think that, you know, Treadwell shouldn't have done it because, you know, he's still fighting for a roster spot. But I think Treadwell is going to be on this roster regardless. It's his amount of playing time that he's going to get that's what he's fighting for. But as far as Exum definitely can get cut. I mean, he was on the roster bubble last year. I mean, injuries essentially kind of saved his spot. So Exum needs to be – he has to be thinking about that kind of stuff, you know, more so than someone like Treadwell. And like you said, they are brothers, so that's just not something they should be engaging into.
And JR, what are your thoughts about, you know, camp fights, Treadwell, how things, what should we expect from him coming back, and how do you think the team's going to deal with him, given that he's come out pretty publicly and said now that, you know, he was more hurt than the team let on last year, and he's come out now, and, like, he's hurt. So do you think the team's going to take it slow with him this year, or they're going to get him right back out there because he needs the reps?
You know, I was fine with the camp fight. It's the thing that I had a problem with was Exum going low, like Miles mentioned, just because you're messing with, you know, his livelihood. And we've all seen the type of lower body injury that he suffered in his career. You know, in Ole Miss, he suffered the ankle injury, and he could have easily hyperextended his knee, because Exum's whole body really fell on Laquan, and that injury could have been way worse than, you know, this hamstring injury that he said he suffered, whenever that was, whether it was in the fight or you know, whenever he was running routes, as he mentioned. They got really lucky that he didn't hurt his, you know, injury, whatever it is, worse, or he could have suffered another injury. And, you know, that could have – it could have really derailed his career. And it's just really tough, man. And I hope he can bounce back from it. Hamstrings are a lingering injury, like Inka mentioned. And, you know, they should take it slow because hamstrings are something that can get worse over time if you don't let it heal. And Laquan just doesn't need to rush it. He just needs to let it get better. Preseason is important for him, but he really needs to understand that he has to do whatever he needs to do to get to the season because that's what really matters for him. And, you know, coming off a really poor season, you know, one catch for 15 yards, he really needs to understand what is most important to him. And that's what he does during the season. Yes, he needs the reps in preseason and in practice, but the season is what really matters for him, especially trying to rebound off a poor, you know, rookie year. So I'm really interested to see how they do handle the situation. If he doesn't practice for the next, you know, couple of days or next couple of weeks, I won't panic just because I know how bad hamstring injuries can linger. And I just hope they do the right thing and just let it heal completely.
All right. Well, the next thing is really a topic for Miles. Mr. Gorham, how excited, how happy are you to see the man, the homecoming king, Michael Floyd, come back and just ball in training camp thus far? And are you finally willing to admit that Michael Floyd is probably better than Laquon Treadwell?
Okay, two things. For any player on the Vikings, I'm always rooting for him. I always want him to succeed and do well. I'm at the point, you know, even personally, I'm not surprised Michael Floyd's doing this well right now this early in camp because he does have all that talent. You know, he's 6'3", 220, you know, running a 4.4. So, like, I mean, the guy's got the height, weight, and speed. He was a first-round pick. So, like, that stuff doesn't surprise me. He should be standing out. He should be doing well, in my opinion. One thing that I do think, though, is I'm always going to root for him, so I don't want you to think that. But at the same time, against Treadwell, I don't think I've ever said that I think Treadwell is better than Michael Floyd, but I think he has the opportunity to still win that job over Michael Floyd, mainly because of the suspension. I think, again, I think I'd said it earlier. Somebody tweeted about, you know, they're surprised that Michael Floyd wasn't getting some of the first team reps. And I personally think he would be getting more and rotating in the actual third receiver spot if he didn't have that suspension with Laquon Treadwell. He'd be fully in that opportunity to take that job if he wanted it, or at least have a chance to take that job. So I'm rooting for him. I want him to do well because I think if he does well, that means the team's probably doing well, or, you know, or at least some sort of, like, correlation there where, you know, if the team's doing well, he's doing well. It all works together. You know, I want the team to be as good as it can be. So if that means Michael Floyd's playing a lot, that means, you know, that's what we got to do. Because I know he's fighting for a roster spot. He's fighting for a contract extension too. So all that stuff, I want him to do well. So
perfect. Yinka, QB1, I don't really need your takes on this one. I really just put that in the show notes so Miles can say nice things about Michael Floyd. So we'll keep it moving. We'll move right on along here. And we're going to talk about everyone's favorite person, Sam Bradford. I wrote a little article talking about, you know, whether or not Sam Bradford is truly going to have a breakout season this year. And so, you know, we really haven't had a chance to talk about it. Folks been busy, work, life, everything else. So, JR, of course, we're talking about a quarterback, so you get to lead us off here. What are your thoughts on kind of what's going on with Sam? What's going to happen with Sam this year? Is this going to be the year we see Sam live up to maybe not his draft position, maybe not the first overall pick, but is he going to ascend to be a top 10 quarterback, like Bucky Brooks said in his article for NFL.com?
Oh, wow. I did not know Bucky Brooks said that. But, you know, the training camp stuff, tweets, articles, all this other stuff saying Sam's looking great and just complimenting how good he does look in camp doesn't really surprise me just because Sam's going to look good in practice just because he can make all the throws, all three levels of the field. You know, he can manage the game and do whatever you need him to do. The things that Sam needs to improve on, you know, of course, is A-dot that we talk about all the time. and his play in clutch situations in the fourth quarter. That's the biggest things I want to see Sam Bradford improve on next year. And your article touched on a lot of things that he does need to improve on and certain numbers that he does need to improve on. You know, I don't like making predictions on exactly what he will do. Just I think if he does improve in those areas, I think the Vikings can be a playoff team, and I think they can win a game or two in the playoffs. But, you know, it's an old saying that at some point you are what you are. And I don't know if Sam Bradford is at that point, but if he doesn't show improvement this year in those areas, I don't think it will ever happen, just because this is clearly – the most talented team, or the most talent at the skill positions he's been surrounded by far in his career. So this is the year for Sam to do it. If he doesn't do it this year, I don't think it'll ever happen. That's just my opinion on Sam Bradford. I like Sam Bradford, but I don't trust Sam Bradford.
So before we move on to Miles on this one, because, you know, Sam, there's an MO on Sam, but we brought back Pat Shurmur. He's going to be his coach again. He's going to be calling the plays. But you mentioned ADOT, and basically every quarterback that Pat Shurmur's ever had has been towards the very bottom of the league from an ADOT perspective. So do you think that Sam, do you think that, I guess, Pat Shurmur can change given the talent on this team and the fact that he does have Sam Bradford and, you know, an improved offensive line? Do you think Shurmur at this point in his coaching career will be able to switch things up and open up the offense to make it something that is a little bit more like I think all of us as Vikings fans want to see?
I don't. And the simple answer behind that is, I know, Jason, you tweeted this out a little earlier as well, and I responded to it. Just his quote that he was – I forgot who he was talking to. I think it was Sirius XM Radio. He was saying that a lot of people didn't realize how much or how often they went down the field last year, which definitely was far from the case. So – that just shows to me that what he thought he was calling or what he was doing was just fine, and that the execution just wasn't there. So, I mean, like I said, you are what you are at this point. I hope he does innovate and make his offense better. But if it doesn't happen, it wouldn't shock me.
Okay, Miles, what are your thoughts? Sam Bradford, best situation of his career, incredibly talented quarterback. What are your predictions for how he plays? And do you see this finally being the year where he has that breakout, borderline elite type season?
So that this is where I struggle, because I think he can put up some good numbers in terms of volume stats, in terms of, you know, 25 touchdowns. If he puts up 25 touchdowns and let's say 3,800 to 4,000 yards and 12, 13 interceptions, no matter what the record is, no matter what the scenario happens with the team and what the underlying stats and, you know, the ADOT, like you've talked about, and the third down completion rate and conversion rate, I mean, and the red zone conversion rate and all that, no matter what happens with that, I think if he puts up numbers like that, a lot of the fan base is going to clamor for him to be the long-term guy, which I have a problem with, because it's not just about the volume stats. There's a lot more to it than that. Like, and I know in your article, and you point a lot of that stuff out and kind of share that. And I think it's great knowledge that people should start learning and understanding that it's not just about numbers. Like a guy like Blake Bortles put up 35 touchdowns a couple of years ago. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, yeah, he can put up, you know, that many touchdowns. That's awesome. It might help get him paid, or at least it might have before. Doesn't look like it now, but yeah, it's all great that like anybody could do that, but it's like, there's more to it than that. And I think, you know, the understanding of what you're trying to do in your article and stuff like that is really important. But getting back on track with Pat Shurmur, I think I don't know enough about Pat Shurmur to make that guess, but it sounds like his whole career has been the dink and dunk. Doesn't sound like that might be changing. I hope they try to invent and bring in more explosive plays down the field. I hope they try to do more of that and incorporate it. And I think, because I think a lot of people try to put it on Sam, but we're not there in the meeting rooms with him and with Shurmur, and we're not there discussing, you know, him, those guys discussing what the first and second reads are and the options and, you know, where he should be looking to get the ball out to and how quickly he should be getting the ball out. So a lot of that, I know it's easy to blame the quarterback, but sometimes I think, you know, it is the offensive coordinator, it is the quarterback's coach telling him, hey, this is your first read. This is where I think you should be going at, you know, in this given play. And where I really think they should be doing is saying, hey, just let it loose. Like, you know, fine. Like, you know, I started reading the QB Whisperer by Bruce Arians, and I think it's perfect to just take your chance. Like, you know, go deep. I'd rather have you take that chance to go get that touchdown than, you know, dink and dunk the 2 or 3 yards. Because at the end of the day, especially on things like third and long, when you throw it 3 yards, you're not doing yourself any favors. So I really hope it's the year that he does it, because I think if he can start making that transition and kind of ascending into that, you know, like you said, that elite category, I think this team could really explode and be a really, really good football team, you know, potential, you know, deep playoff run. So I hope he does it.
That's awesome, Miles. And I think you touched on a couple things there. And I think it's a perfect transition for a concern that I know that Yinka had brought up. So let's say Sam goes out there, has a pretty good season. You know, he builds on what he started last year. All of our weapons stay healthy. So the offense in general improves, and then the team is kind of stuck in a position where they have to make a decision. So I know that a lot of fans are out there that kind of think that, you know, Sam kind of maintains a steady state, that, you know, Teddy will pop in, get the job back. Maybe we trade Sam away or something like that. But Yinka brought up some really good points that I want to give him an opportunity to expound on, because, you know, Rick Spielman said, you know, I hope to have, you know, a QB battle, or, you know, it's a good problem to have if Sam plays well and then Teddy's healthy and we have to deal with that. But Yinka, I guess, what are your thoughts on that? You know, Sam has a decent season. He builds on what he did last year, but it's not, you know, an elite season. And then you got Teddy there that maybe you can trot out for $1.3 million. What are you doing, and what are your concerns around, you know, just having Teddy be your guy?
My concern is this, and I think this is a scenario that, I mean, I always try to look at worst case scenario. My biggest concern is if Sam Bradford doesn't take hold of the starting position this season. That worries me. If we have to go into 2018 with some semblance of a QB battle, or let's see who could be the guy, then that means Sam Bradford did not do his job. That means that the Vikings did not do better than, you know, maybe 9-7 or 10-6 in first round. We were wild card and we were out, all that stuff. So for me, the best case scenario you can have is for Sam Bradford to just completely ball out and just take the reins of the Vikings organization. He's the quarterback of the future, and we forget Teddy, and, you know, you toll it and trade him and all that stuff. That is the decision that I think is best case scenario. The thing that concerns me is people are just like, well, no, it's a good problem to have because it's QB battle. You can really have these two. Like, no, because at the end of the day, it's more than likely if they're having a QB battle, that means Sam Bradford performed at a medium at best. A style that he's performed at most of his career. Teddy, still being a young player, has basically performed at a medium level, and he's coming off a massive knee explosion, if you will. I don't want that QB battle. I'm probably one of the few people who don't want that QB battle. I definitely don't, because I think Sam has every opportunity this season to take hold of this job and not let there be, you know, any doubts, skepticism on whether or not he is the quarterback of the future. If he doesn't, for me, it's very, very simple. Sam is not your quarterback. Let's stop pretending he is surrounded by an all-star cast, or somewhat the best cast, all-star in the sense that it's the best cast he's been around throughout his entire career. If he can't succeed this year, he's not going to do it. Well, and I'm
sorry. And it's a good enough cast to win with. Like, it's not
exactly.
Like, you can say it's like the best cast he's ever had, but that doesn't mean it's a good cast. It's a legit good cast he's got.
It is a legitimate good cast. He has a top five defense behind him to bail him out in certain situations. If it's me, if Sam only performs at a medium level, I am forgetting about Sam Bradford. I am going into the 2018 draft. I'm finding myself a quarterback, trading away Sam Bradford, and you can let Teddy and this new rookie deal it out, because if that's the case, then this rookie who
essentially, as again, it's, you're back to the same thing. You're hitting that reset button. You can expand your defense. You can keep them along, healthy for a little bit longer, or not healthy, but you can keep them as an elite defense for a little bit longer. You know, bringing in some new guys, all that stuff. But then you have a new quarterback to essentially start back over what you did in 2014, and let that guy compete with Teddy, not Sam, because Sam has to take hold of this job. And that's why I think that so many people are on the side of optimism, where I'm on the side of pessimism, where I don't want to see QB battle in 2018.
Okay, so we'll go quick. QB1, what are your thoughts on what Prince just had to say and what Rick Spielman had to say about it? You know, good problem to have, 2018.
You know, I think Rick is just playing poker face right now, in my opinion. We know he's really good at doing that. And basically what he wants to do is he wants to maximize assets and getting something for one of those guys. He knows he's not able to keep both of those guys on the roster in 2018 just because they're both NFL starting caliber quarterbacks. And we all know it's the most position and the most important position in the NFL. And a lot of teams will give up King's ransom to get one of them. And, you know, I put in the group chat earlier, imagine if this would have happened next year, speaking on Ryan Tannehill's injury. It could be a realistic situation where they could call Spielman about Teddy or Bradford, whichever one they do end up giving away or trading away. So, and we all know Rick Spielman loves his draft pick. So he's in a situation where he wants to maximize both of those guys, getting assets for one of them, whichever one it may be. But it's a tricky situation just because, you know, Bradford has his offensive coordinator that he's had for most of his career. And it's a situation where it's kind of hard seeing them dropping Sam if he does have a mediocre or, you know, okay season for a guy coming off a knee injury. But on the flip side of that, this team knows what their identity is, and that's on the other side of the ball, and that's on defense. And they know if they have to pay Sam or franchise tag Sam, they're going to have to lose one or two of those guys. So it's a big decision that they have to make, depending on whoever they choose.
Miles, bring us home. What are your thoughts, man?
I mean, I agree with most of the takes. I think, like what I've stated all along, though, during the draft process and everything like that, I think you can never have enough talent on your roster. So I think if they were to bring Sam back, whether it's franchise tag, you know, I unless he plays, you know, lights out, this team, you know, makes a deep run in the playoffs and all that good stuff, I think I wouldn't do anything more than give him the franchise tag or a cheapish type, you know, 1-year deal. Even though it wouldn't be cheap, it'd probably be a pretty expensive one. Because I'm not ready to commit to either one of the quarterbacks on the roster right now, long term. Like I said, though, I think having both guys on the roster next year and competing for that spot isn't a bad thing. I understand Prince's point of that, you know, you got to be able to move on though from one of the guys, I think. So that's where I'm hoping one of them, you know, whether it's, you know, Sam takes that job this year or Teddy comes in somehow from the injury, even though I personally don't think he should play this year. And he gets an opportunity, but if he does get that opportunity to play and takes it, I just want somebody to take that job and run with it. I hate the QB carousel that we've had in Minnesota for so long. I just want that guy and, you know, and just kind of move on from it. But that's just me.
Oh, no. Saxy Prince is on the move.
Yeah. No, I'm not on the move. I just, I got a little, I'm a little bit, I got a little hype with this conversation. Because
Okay. Bring us home then. You can bring us home.
Yeah. I've kind of stayed away from the Teddy talk for a little bit because I've been watching people talk about it, their opinions. Jason, your article actually really, I don't want to say it did open my eyes, but I think it further opened my eyes in this situation. No matter what, I mean, I do think that there's a ceiling that Sam Bradford can reach this year, next few years, all that stuff. I think Sam Bradford's getting to the point where he's probably getting to the top of the hill, right? So even if we were to franchise him, if we were to sign him to a deal, we're going to be spending $20 million on a quarterback that I just, in my opinion, over the course of his career, he has shown nothing that he is a $24 million a year type quarterback. which is not a knock necessarily against him. It's just that I would much rather take that money after watching guys like Dak, Russell Wilson, some of these other young quarterbacks coming into the league. I would much rather just take my shot at bringing a guy with maybe a little bit even more upside in this draft, that it's going to be a heavy draft, and just go take a shot with one of those guys and not have to pay them, you know, 20 plus million and only pay them however many rookie quarterbacks make. I'd much rather take that, because you will have your growing pains with a young quarterback and whatnot. But again, at least it gives you, it hits the reset button on opening that window that I think is starting to close because of the quarterback situation. And unfortunately speaking, the reason why I hate quarterbacks is because how much they handicap their franchises, because the franchises have to make the decision on these guys, and making certain decisions on these quarterbacks forces them to, forces them to let a player go on the defense, or you know trade another player that they might actually need. I'm almost in the respect where you've seen some rookie quarterbacks that if you put them around a good enough supporting cast, they can perform. I mean, it's a hot take, but like, start treating them like running backs. Honestly, if you don't find a franchise guy, hit the reset button. Next 4 years, try to hit on another guy. If you
can. Oh my goodness! Welcome back, Saxy Prince. Love the take. I'm glad that you let it out, because you've been holding it in for a long, long time, staying out of these back and forths on the
Twitter. All damn summer.
And we got you back, and I'm glad, because that was some fire that you just gave us right there. But QB1's about to pass out. It's been a long day for him, so we're going to wrap this thing up here. What do you guys have on deck? Any projects you guys have upcoming? Anything you have in mind? JR, sleep looks like what you have on deck, but anything else you got working right now?
No, man, just my life is consumed with football right now. Still grinding through, 2018 guys, adding to the database. That's it for me right now.
All right. Miles, what about you?
I haven't quite figured out what I want to do yet, so I'll probably come to you guys for some advice.
Coming to us for advice. That's just a terrible look for you right there. It is, I know. Don't do that. We will always lead you in the wrong direction. Saxy Prince, how about you, sir?
I will be dropping my remote, first and foremost. Second thing is I will be going down to training camp tomorrow, tomorrow night, actually, hanging with the Reef and some of them boys. I have my younger brother, he has his first like open practice, for, I guess you could call this like training camp, preseason, all that stuff. So I'll go there after work, and then I'm just going to head down to Mankato tomorrow night. And yeah, I'm going to be throwing a lot of content over the next few days. I'm going to be interviewing as many players as I can on Saturday of the night practice and stuff, and just get play. I will be giving play by play on my account. So yeah, that's what I'll be working on.
Well, all right. That all sounds good. Like Miles, I have no idea what I'm going to do next, but, as always, thank you for listening to the Climbing the Pocket podcast. My name is Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. Joined this evening by QB1, JR, Miles Gorham, and the Saxy Prince, Yinka Allende. Y'all have a good one, man.